Hey mama, do you find yourself wishing you knew you were on the right path with your business or wanting to know how to do it all as a work-at-home mom and entrepreneur? If you struggle with imposter syndrome, mom guilt, or fear of failure, then you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Alexia, a Christian mindset coach passionate about teaching moms how to renew their minds to find success both in business and motherhood. You can overcome the negative thoughts holding you back from fully stepping into your calling. I know what it's like to worry your business will never work, to feel mom guilt every time you work on your business, to realize your mindset is hindering you, but not knowing how to change it in a Christ-centered way. I created the Mom with a Calling podcast to teach you how to use the powerful combination of God's Word and proven mindset strategies to help you break free from negative, paralyzing thoughts and gain clarity and confidence to go where God is leading you. As you step out of the old way of thinking and into God's way, you'll find more peace, joy, and purpose. Pop in those earbuds and get ready to let God work in you so He can work through you. Hey there, and welcome back to another episode of Mama with a Calling podcast. This is Alexia. Thank you for joining me today. I know it's been a couple of weeks since I put out an episode. I got sick again, but I've been working behind the scenes on something new and exciting that I'll be talking about in the next few weeks. So that's good. Those are all good things. But I recently attended a thing called Secret Church and got a whole bunch of ideas for podcast episodes. So here I am wanting to share that with you today. So I'd never even heard of Secret Church. If you haven't heard of that, don't feel bad. I hadn't either. But it's run by David Platt, and there were like 50,000 people signed up for this. It's a, what's it called? Simulcast. And David Platt is with Radical Ministries. And apparently Secret Church was born from a trip he took a long time ago, like 20 years ago, to China, where he taught in the underground church there. And he spent like 6 hours one night teaching the Bible, like in this dark room with like one light. And the people were so eager and hungry for the word that when they were done, that was like the Old Testament. And when they were finished, he was like, okay, we're done. And they were like, we need the New Testament. So they stayed another 6 hours. And it was just really, really, I guess convicting, like encouraging, inspiring to see in other countries where Christianity is illegal or very frowned upon. You know, there's a lot of hardship, like a lot of persecution, that the church is growing tremendously in those areas. Like nothing's going to stop them from learning and hearing about God's word. And I'm just like, you know, I was just convicted about how in America we have access and availability, yet so many of us don't read the Bible as much as maybe we would like to. So I just thought it was really great that he does this event. To the past, like for the past like 20 years, he's been doing this Secret Church where basically you do deep Bible study for 6 hours, which of course I'm all about. You can actually find all of the past videos and stuff on their website. I'll include that in the description in case you're interested. This year, we studied the book of Ruth, and it was so, so good. And while I had so many different insights and takeaways, one of the main ones that stood out to me that I just knew that I wanted to share with you all here on the podcast is that we have to learn to let God love us and provide for us. Now, I know that might sound like really simplistic, and of course I know God loves me, but I mean letting God love you, letting God take care of you, letting God provide for you, because I know that a lot of you listening, because I was the same way, and I've been working on this, God's been working on my heart in this area for a while now, we are go-getters, motivated. We are going to take care of ourselves. We're going to get it done. And it is actually really hard. A lot of times I've seen this in my clients, I've seen it in myself, that you've probably taken care of yourself your whole life in a lot of ways. Or maybe not in your childhood, but maybe in your adult life as you've gone to school and in your career, it's like
we are rewarded in our society when you can take care of yourself, when you can get things done. And, you know, you take action and all of that. And so there's like, it feels like a vulnerability, almost a weakness even, to just surrender to someone else, letting them provide for you. And it shows up in our businesses. So that's why this stood out to me. So I hope you'll stick around for this just to hear how it's all connected. There's a lot of really good, a good word in this, a good amount of encouragement. And even if this doesn't affect you or you don't think it affects you, I encourage you to listen anyway, because if you're good in this area, awesome. Then listen to this as an encouragement for how to stay focused on what God has for you. So a little primer, Ruth is the Moabite daughter-in-law of the Jewish woman, Naomi, right? So they had left, the land had a famine. Naomi and her husband and her two sons had left, and then her two sons married Moabite women, and they left the land of Judah. And Naomi hears that God has brought food back to the land of Judah. There's no longer a famine. So she comes back after her two sons have died, and she has her two daughter-in-laws. She tells them they can go back to their homeland. Orpah goes back, and Ruth says, nope, I'm going to stay with you. So she comes back with Naomi to the land of Judah. And Boaz is the owner of a barley field, and he is a redeemer of Naomi's family, unbeknownst to Ruth. So a redeemer, somebody in Jewish law, is that when a woman lost her husband or something like that, there was other men in the family line that could come in and redeem that woman. He could take her in as his own, provide for them, care for them, etc. And so he was a redeemer. And so in this story, if you haven't read the story, I highly encourage you to do that. But in this story of Boaz and Ruth and Naomi, Boaz is a type of Christ, right? He represents that redeemer that Christ is for all of us, even the Gentile, right? Because Ruth is a Gentile. And so it's like a call to that, like a foreshadowing to Christ is going to be coming for all of us. So I want to read for you Ruth 2:8-13. And then I'm going to read through some of these, and then I'm going to talk about them and share how I think they're connected to our story here. All right. So all of our verses are going to be coming, like I said, from Ruth, the second chapter. So I'm going to read 8-13. This is the CSB version. And it says, then Boaz said to Ruth. Oh, I should say. Okay, so Ruth has been going to the fields, because there's also part of Jewish law where when you are doing a harvest, when the men are harvesting the barley or wheat or whatever it is, they're not to take, and this is just God's goodness. This is just like I just love this about God. But you're not to take all the little remnants, the kind of the pieces that fall to the side. You're supposed to leave them for the poor and the people that need to come along, and they get to glean or pick up the pieces for themselves. So Ruth has been doing that. So Boaz then sees her and says, like, who is this and all of that. And then he says to Ruth, listen, my daughter. And that's like a very endearing term. He says, listen, my daughter, don't go and gather grain in another field, and don't leave this one, but stay here close to my female servants. See which field they are harvesting and follow them. Haven't I ordered the young men not to touch you? When you are thirsty, go and drink from the jars the young men have filled. Pause. That is such a like astounding thing that he is saying, that she doesn't have to go gather her own drink, but that the men have actually gathered drink. And she is like considered the lowest of the low, right? She is not even working there. She's gleaning, but these are his workers, paid workers. And he's saying for them to give her a drink instead of the other way around. So that's just a little nugget there. So she fell face down, bowed to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor with you so that you notice me, although I am a foreigner? Boaz answered her that everything you have done for your mother-in-law since your husband's death has been fully reported to me. how you left your father and mother and your native land, and how you came to a people you didn't previously know. May the Lord reward you for what you have done, and may you receive a full reward from the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." She said, "My Lord, I have found favor with you, for you have comforted and encouraged your servant, although I am not like one of your female servants." So what I love about this is that Boaz is offering her provision and care, and Ruth is humble. She understands, and this shows us, right? She understands that she doesn't deserve this level of kindness. It's one thing to just be able to glean a little bit, but he is saying, I'm not only going to let you, I'm going to provide you with water, and I'm going to protect you. Like, there's something about her that he is protecting her anyway. Like, she's not even Jewish. She's not even from the people. And yet he is taking care of her in this loving way. And so she receives his favor. Okay. So going on to verse 14, it says, "At mealtime, Boaz told her, 'Come over here and have some bread and dip it in the vinegar sauce.' So she sat beside the harvesters and he offered her roasted grain. She ate and was satisfied and had some left over." This particular, just this one verse, just has so much in it for me. It like hit me as I was listening to this, as we were going through the secret church time. I just felt like God said so clearly to me, in order to experience what Boaz had for her at the table, she had to receive the invitation to be at the table, right? Like, he's inviting her in. He's saying, come and eat, right? And this is a big deal because she, again, she's not even his servant. She's gleaning. She's a Gentile. That's a whole other thing. A Gentile. And he's inviting her to eat at their table. I didn't think about that until just now. But the Gentile eating at the table with, no, that's not supposed to happen. But he invites her in to eat. And again, he is providing for her. He is inviting her to a higher position than she actually earns or deserves. But Ruth does not say no. She goes. She doesn't say, oh no, that's not for me. No, I shouldn't. She says, thank you. And receives his provision. And I think that stood out to me because I know that a lot of times, for a lot of us, it can feel like we are being humble by denying opportunities that are presented to us. Or maybe we would be elevated. Maybe there's a position of recognition. Maybe somebody wants to recognize or honor us in some way. Or maybe something... like even stepping in, I've done podcast episodes on this recently, talking about David stepping into his position of king. God gave him this position. He's to step into it with humility, yes, but also with authority. It's been given to you. Boaz, the owner, invites her in. She now has the right to sit there, even though on her own, she wouldn't just go sit down at the table. But he invites her in. And so she receives that provision and care. And so how often as Christian in general, right, but especially in business, are we not saying, like, God is asking us to be a business owner. He called you to be an entrepreneur. That means that even if you don't feel like you deserve this, even if you feel like you don't understand how he could be calling you to do this, he's saying, this is the way I'm asking you to come into this position. And to say yes, because he's the one in charge, and it's like he's offering. So there's this false humility that I think a lot of Christians struggle with. I know that I definitely did and probably still do and don't recognize it yet. But false humility is where you think that you need to remain low on the totem pole. You think that you need to remain in hardship. You think that you need to remain at the bottom or less than or whatever, because that's showing your true humility. But that's not the same thing as not promoting yourself. But when God elevates you, right? That verse that I do all the time, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that he can exalt you at the proper time, which is 1 Peter 5:6. Because God will exalt you, and we have to receive that like invitation. Okay, so that stood out to me. And then, you know, Ruth goes on and she goes on and she continues to gather the grain. So let's go to verse 17. It says, so Ruth gathered grain in the field until evening. She beat out what she had gathered, and it was about 26 quarts of barley. She picked up the grain and went into town, and she like took it home. So the amount that she gleaned is a crazy amount, because she, it was like 30 to 50 pounds of barley. And what I love about this is, again, she gleaned until evening. She didn't just stop when she had like barely enough to survive for the day and, you know, just like tried to keep herself limited to what she thought was a good amount or like an appropriate amount. She kept on working. She continued to receive what was in front of her and what Boaz had said was hers. He gave her the right, permission, authority, etc., to be able to glean. So she gleaned and she ended up with over a month's worth, like a month's wage. So a common worker would receive 1 to 2 pounds of barley a day as a wage. And so she literally walked away with a month and a half's worth of barley, a wage for her one day. And it's just like, it reminds me of Psalm 104:27-28 that says, all of them, that was like animals and created things, wait for you to give them their food at the right time. When you give it to them, they gather it. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. And this word for gather in the Hebrew is the exact same word that is used in Ruth, where God is that same picture of, here it is, come and get it. I mean, every day I sit here at my desk and I look out the window and I watch the birds because I love nature. And the birds, I'm just reminded of that verse over and over, how, you know, God says we matter more than sparrows, you know, and they get provided. Jesus talks about them getting provided for by the Father. But, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, every time I see birds, I am reminded of the provision is there, but the birds have to go look for it. They're looking and it is available for them in abundance. I mean, there's all sorts of bugs and everything, you know, out in nature, and the birds are all eating and having a time. I mean, I watched a bird the other day, like grab a lizard. It was crazy. But like I watch them, and if they are looking, they will find food. They don't just sit in their nest with their mouths open. I mean, as babies they do, but not as adults, right? They go and they look. It's available for them. They don't question that, right? And so in the same way, like God is opening his hand and saying, here, and they take it without question. Thank you, provider. And why is it that we as humans, and I mean, this isn't for everybody, but there are a lot of women, I see this with clients, as I did this myself, where we don't think that we should take more than a certain amount. Whatever that amount is very, like, there's no rule about that. But for whatever reason, and I can think of a number of reasons, but we think that we should limit what we take. And this example of Ruth just gleaning and taking and working, right? She's working and receiving what's in front of her. God multiplied her effort and she got back more than enough. And I just think that is such an amazing picture of how we should be toward God, our Father and our provider. That he is offering that to us, but we have to do the work. So there are so many lessons in these verses, and I've already said a few, but one of the ones that I want to make sure that I touch on is that God invites us to join him at his table, even though we haven't earned it. I already talked about that. And it's in his grace and mercy and through Jesus that he welcomes us anyway. Like, we don't have to earn the right by, like, yes, we need to do work, but we don't have to be like a good girl or behave or obey every single command in order to then experience the blessing, because that's not like the new covenant is that we need to love God and love others. We're invited into something that we don't deserve, but we get to inherit. We get to be a part of because of Jesus. And we have to accept that invite in order to benefit from his provision and care. And this means that we cannot believe the lie that we don't have a seat at the table, or that God does not want you there, right? That you get to partake in the abundance that God has for you. He doesn't want you to stay in the place that you quote unquote deserve, right? But he wants you to eat and be satisfied. It's, I mean, imagine if the story was Boaz said, okay, you know, Moabite person, I guess you can glean a little bit. Like, there's no story there. That was already part of the provision, is that she could just gather what she needed, and that would have still been a blessing. But this is above and beyond, right? Like, to not just have what you quote unquote deserve, right? But to eat and be satisfied. She had leftovers. Like, that's amazing. And to experience this, though, you have to be willing to join him at the table, receive his provision for you. And then we see Ruth, like I said, working all day as much as she can. She doesn't stop when she's just had enough for the day, because she is not saying no to the abundance before her. No, she works and God multiplies her harvest. We should do the same. Don't hold back and decide how much money is quote unquote enough, or what is an acceptable amount before you have too much money, whatever too much means. Receive what God has for you. You do the work before you, and then whatever is provided is what he desired to give you, and then you receive it with joy, right? There's no shame in how much comes to you. So your job is simply to receive it. It says that Ruth took that barley home to Naomi, and then she continued to come back day after day. She didn't say, oh, he gave me way more than I needed, I'm not going to go back for more. No, he told her she's welcome. Like, not doing her, like, not in a shameful way or anything like that, but she goes back. And as long as he was providing, she had a way, she received and welcomed his care. And I know that I've walked through this, and I've heard many of my clients do the same. So I only imagine that those of you listening may have the same struggle with truly letting God provide for you. That it's okay to make a lot of money through your business, right? That you're having a hard time, like, believing that it's okay to make a lot of money through your business. That God has called you to do this business, so you don't need to hold back for fear of making too much. Now, that might sound crazy, because some of you are like, I'm not trying to hold back from making money, I'm just wondering why I'm not making money. Like, I would love to make money. But I, for years, honestly, would say, I said that. I was like, why am I not making money? Or why am I not making this much money? But in reality, I was self-sabotaging. And I did not know it at all. As soon as I saw success, I would subconsciously pull back on my efforts so that I can keep in check with how much money I was making. I didn't even realize this was happening until my husband pointed it out, which I did not want to receive at the time. But I realized he was right. And then I looked at, like, why do I keep doing that? And I did the mindset work and figured out that it was my fear of letting God provide for me, because, like I was saying at the beginning, I was so used to taking care of myself, and I thought that I needed to take care of myself. I thought it was like this weakness if I was like, God, can you provide? But I thought that I had to take care of all of it. And there was also like a vulnerability in that, right? Like, if I trust God, is he really going to come through? Like, those were my thoughts before. And then there was also the fear of being greedy. So I would put the brakes on how much money I allowed myself to make so that I could make sure that I didn't go over whatever threshold in my mind was quote unquote too much. But in reality, that was me taking control instead of surrendering to what God wants to do in my business and how much money he thinks that I need. Or, like, I don't know what God, like, if God wants to bring money into my life through my business, or just into my business, there are things that he may ask me to do in my business that requires money. If I push back on it, then I can't do those things. Or maybe there's something that's going to be happening. Maybe there's an event coming up. Like, recently I had the opportunity to potentially be a vendor at a conference that was all about, like, finding your calling. Well, it ended up they already had, like, the people, so I didn't get to do it. But the point is, the amount of money to be like the next level, the next tier, I didn't have the money for that. And, you know, in the marketing budget to do that. And so if I had I didn't know that was coming, right? You never know what's coming, what opportunities are going to be ahead, to know why God's bringing the money. And so we don't need to try to control that. And so I want you to ask yourself, is this you? Okay, so ask yourself these three questions. Are you letting God provide for you? And be honest. Are you really letting God take care of you and provide for you? Number two, do you have thoughts about money and what's considered too much or what you think is an acceptable amount for a Christian to make? Like, if you were going to make $1 million in your business, does that feel like it's somehow wrong for you to make that much money? Why or why not? And then are you self-sabotaging? This can look like a number of things. It can look like changing course in your business when you start to see traction, or maybe not actually putting an offer out there to sell, or having staying in research mode because you know deep down that if you take action, then it's going to actually work and have the potential to actually make sales and make money. So you just kind of stay stuck in research mode, believing that you have to stay there, but really it's this deep down fear of making money in the first place. And so you have to address those issues, those lies that are under there, stopping you from moving forward. And if this doesn't affect you, like I said at the beginning, and you feel good in this area, then that is amazing. That is great. I know I've done a lot of work in this area, and a lot of you may have as well, and that's amazing. But remember, the enemy is always trying to turn our focus away from God and onto ourselves. So as you listen to this today, I hope that you're just reminded of where your provision comes from and to keep your focus on Him, and that renewed joy in remembering, yes, this is God who provides for me. Yes, I am going to work and then open my hands to receive what He has for me and also take what He has for me when it's available. Money mindset and letting God love you are deep issues, deep, deep issues that often get exposed when you become an entrepreneur. Something about running a business, God uses this very calling to bring out those deep embedded issues in our lives. And this is what I love. I've walked through a lot of this, and I love coaching women in these areas to identify the root cause behind their actions so they can have that breakthrough and actually move forward in their business, step into their calling, and start making money. So I would love to help you by using biblical mindset coaching. If this is you, if you're interested, you can book a 60-minute breakthrough session by going to mamawithacalling.com/breakthrough. I'll put that in the description below. I do have a limited number of spots each week. So if you're interested, I would love to support you in this. All right. I hope this episode encouraged you. I hope that the Holy Spirit just would reveal to you and show you anything that is in the way of you fully receiving God's love and provision and letting Him care for you, that those walls will be broken down so that you could receive God's love. And if there are tears that come when you go through this process, that usually is a good sign that you are onto something. So I just pray that this word gets into your heart and changes how you see money and provision and your Father and what He is calling you into. All right, until next time, keep pursuing your calling.
Thanks for listening to the Mama with a Calling podcast. As always, you'll find the show notes for today's episode at mamawithacalling.com/podcast. Really quick before you head out, are you loving these episodes? To make sure this podcast gets in the ears of as many mamas as possible, please head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. And while you're there, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes. I'm going to be reading your reviews on the podcast, so I can't wait to hear from you. Also, if you know someone that needs to hear these episodes, grab a screenshot and share it on Instagram. And don't forget to tag me at Mama with a Calling so I can share it in my stories.
Until next time, keep pursuing your calling.